broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for November the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to LibertyRoundtable.com, Liberty Roundtable Live. If you have the heart to help donate today, please, every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. Quick recap of Saturday's broadcast. You know we're live Monday through Saturday, 2 hours a day, right? 6 days a week. On the Sabbath, we take a well-needed rest. Other than that, we are live because there's so much news generated. We've got to comment. We've got to break it down. We've got to put it in the context of the Constitution. And we've got to stand for God, family, and country everywhere we go as often as we possibly can. We had on Richard Mack on Saturday, 2 hours with the good sheriff. And we talked about, believe it or not, there's a big battle between Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi. 40 conservative groups now have filed an ethics complaint against House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for launching what they're calling a weaponized impeachment against President Donald Trump. Believe it or not, Tea Party Patriot Action is leading the complaint suggesting that Pelosi has tried to seize political power from the executive branch of government by initiating really illegal proceedings. They're trying to hypocritically usurp President Trump's power. All right. And now they say the Democrats' decisions to televise Trump impeachment hearings could prove politically perilous, says Reuters News Service about it. We're talking about wall-to-wall coverage. Lawmakers are going to have to avoid the urge, if you will, from grandstanding before a TV audience of millions, or it could backfire big time. Can you say political circus is my headline. Donald Trump, by the way, will not be removed from office from impeachment, ladies and gentlemen. It takes a two-thirds majority, a super majority is what they call it, of U.S. senators to convict in an impeachment trial. In other words, the required constitutional provision only requires 34 votes in the Senate to acquit President Trump. So, look, he's not going to be impeached in that way. Now, whether the House votes for impeachment or not, time will tell. But the Democrats know full well that they're on a fool's errand. They know full well they don't have the goods on President Trump, and they know full well it'll never pass, quote, impeachment muster. But they want to do it because it tampers with the election without appearing to tamper with the election. I mean, it is a shame. Shame on Nancy. Good for the 40-plus Republican or conservative groups that are trying to say, hey, this is a problem. 40 conservative groups filing an ethics complaint. Time will tell where that goes, but it just seems like lawsuit heaven up in the District of Criminals, doesn't it? All right, we talked about Sheriff Tony Mace, president of the New Mexico Sheriff's Association, as well as president of the Western States Sheriff Association, stands for Liberty, at the CSPOA conference that took place a couple of weeks ago in Arizona. We talked about the work going on. And that was hour one. We finished up on that. The second hour, the good Sheriff Richard Mack interview continued. And we talked about, will constitutional sheriffs stand for the rule of law? Time will tell. All right. Trevor Noah is his name. He asks Hillary Clinton, quote, how did you kill Jeffrey Epstein? Reports Fox News. Now, the interesting thing about this is Hillary just gave a very creepy, weird laugh and didn't even respond. Now, understand this is on Comedy Central, so it's all a joke. But I submit to you that it's not a joke. I submit to you when the top forensic investigator comes back and says, hey, this is not consistent with suicide like the government's telling you. This is consistent with a homicide or murder. We better sit up and take notice. And I'm not suggesting Hillary was involved. I have no idea. But they mock this in Comedy Central, and then he comes back and doesn't even let her answer. And he says, You know, how do you have so much power even though you don't have any power? And how come you're not using your power to become president? And they kind of mock this thing. Very, very strange. But I'm saying, look, all these allegations flying about have got to stop. All right? For example, the attorneys will not confirm the ID'd whistleblower. So people in the news think they knew who the whistleblower is, but there's no confirmation. How does Donald Trump deal with this? All right? Trump's basically accused of stuff, but he can't face his accuser. The Democrats are holding closed hearings, and even Republicans who are on committees aren't able to attend. I mean, this is a fiasco, a sham. Okay, but Donald Trump says Hillary Clinton's guilty of criminal activity. Okay? They say Donald Trump's guilty of criminal activity. One group says, hey, you know what? Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. The other group says, no, he was murdered. Okay, same thing with the Seth Rich murder. I say there's more here than meets the eye. Others have tried to stand up and say, look, the Seth Rich murder's a fiasco, and then they've literally been shut down by the family and attorneys. Everybody's afraid of lawsuits. But at some point, there's so many allegations in the court of public opinion. I just want people to sit down and shut up or deliver the goods. All right? If Barack Obama literally used his influence to investigate Donald Trump or to spy on Donald Trump while he was running for office, that's criminal activity from the Oval Office, folks. Bordering on treason. High crimes and treason kind of stuff, right? If Hillary really is guilty of criminal activity, then we need to prosecute. If Donald's really done something wrong, we need to prosecute. The bottom line is all these entities seem to be in the swamp in Washington above the rule of law. We're just going to say criminal activities committed by all these people. If Barack Obama's birth certificate's forged, somebody has committed a criminal act. Okay, you can laugh and go birther and say whatever you want to. But the fact is, Barack Obama literally sent billions of dollars overseas, pallets of money, through foreign governments in a way to avoid the law. No accountability. And I basically posed to the good Sheriff Richard Mack, hey, you know what? Who's going to investigate these crimes by the FBI, by the Justice Department? Look, FBI, Justice Department, CIA agents were caught doing drugs and having sex overseas. No accountability. Right? The FBI literally lies in the Ammon Bundy case. What do they call that? Exculpatory evidence or whatever it is. All right? And literally, the government lied and withheld that, perjured themselves, and they dismissed the Ammon Bundy case, which is fine, but he sat behind bars for a couple of years with literally no charges, no conviction. He lost 2 years of his life away from his family, and the government got caught lying to the jury? And all we're going to do is dismiss the case? Why aren't people's heads rolling, figuratively speaking? Why aren't people going to prison over this stuff? Hillary and the uranium? And we're going to talk about Donald Trump's ties to the Russians? Joe Biden and his Ukraine fiasco, and we're going to talk about Donald Trump's ties to the Ukraine? Ladies and gentlemen, something has got to give. And all we hear about is, oh, Donald moved from New York to Florida. Trump Tower versus Mar-a-Lago because, wow, taxes are too abusive. But no one's going to really investigate the criminal activity of the IRS. All right, everybody's moving to different cities in 20. Or I'm sorry. We're talking about the top 20 cities that everybody's moving to. And they're nearly all in Florida, believe it or not. One of them's in St. George, Utah, but most of them are in Florida. We also talked about the 2020 census wants to be your side gig. Especially in Utah, they're looking for folks to work for the census here coming up. Joe Arpaio looks to restore lawsuit against Rolling Stone magazine, the Huffington Post, etc. I guess the judge says Joe Arpaio lacks specificity. In other words, lacks specifics. So the case got tossed out. Joe Arpaio's not happy about that. But what I find fascinating is there's no prosecution. So I asked the good sheriff at the end of the broadcast, hey, you know what? Are the constitutional sheriffs going to do something? Somehow they need to start investigating this. What's the truth on Jeffrey Epstein? Was there a suicide or was it a murder? And if there's a murder, how come we're not pursuing that? Same thing with Seth Rich. Same thing with the Barack Obama birth certificate forgery. You got one of the biggest sheriffs in the land, former sheriffs now, saying, hey, his criminal investigative team shows that the birth certificate was a forgery. Is that just something we laugh at and go, ha, ha, ha. Who did you kill lately? Okay, or is this serious business? And I say, what are the American sheriffs, the constitutional county sheriffs, doing? If they're not going to look into that, if they're not going to uphold the border issues, if they're not going to stop red flag laws from happening in their counties, what good are these local sheriffs? Well, we got to do something about it. The good sheriff said he was going to look into things and see what might be on the docket for answers. So we'll keep an eye on that just for you, and that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Saturday. Check it out at libertyroundtable.com and donate while you're there, would you please? Without further ado, News the Networks Refuse to Use starts now. Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
All right. Do you want to make a quick comment on my point right before we move on here? What do you think? We got to have accountability for this stuff, man. All these allegations everywhere are crazy.
Yeah. Criminality, I mean, these things should be investigated. I mean, if there's a crime that's been committed, you can tell that because of the corpus delicti, they call it in Latin, basically a body of evidence or some evidence of a crime having been committed. If there is that, then yes, it ought to be investigated, and there's nobody better than a sheriff to do that kind of investigation.
I submit all these people seem to be above the law, though. I mean, how can President Trump just say, you know, hey, Hillary's committed criminal acts. She's a criminal. How can Donald Trump say that Barack Obama is the leader of ISIS? Is that true? Hold on. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay? He's the founder. He founded ISIS. And I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton.
So Donald Trump says that Barack is the founder of ISIS and Hillary is the co-founder. Now, he was on the campaign trail. He's not saying that now. But is that true? If it's true, then we need serious prosecution of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. If that's not true, then you know what? Donald Trump, I don't know that he should be allowed to make statements like that at all. Something serious needs to happen. Those kind of allegations are bordering on criminal activity. That's way beyond libel and slander. That's criminal assertion without evidence of any kind. I mean, there's a limit to your free speech, folks. What's up with that, do you say, lol?
Well, my thinking on that is that they funded, you know, through back channels and so forth, they funded those who became ISIS. I think it's more likely that the U.S. regime change operation funded the mercenaries who were willing to you know, fight against our targets, you know, our enemies, such as Assad or Muammar Gaddafi.
All right, so let's be blunt. Is it a war crime?
Well, I don't know what it is, Sam, but it's certainly immoral, you know, for our administration to be funding mercenaries who then become our enemies, right? And if
so, when does it just become immoral versus when is it criminal activity? If that's happening without approval from Congress, at some point it's violating your oath of office and it borders on high crimes and misdemeanor or treason. I mean, at what point do you aid and abet an enemy?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, several presidents, our administrations, we've been doing this for several decades.
Yes, we have.
You know, Bush and Clinton and Obama and Bush before him and probably Reagan before them. So these are the real reasons why presidents ought to be impeached for treason, not for, you know, dilly-dallying in the White House. So it just seems to me that the Congress doesn't really have their priorities straight because they're beholden to the military-industrial complex.
Sad but true. Now, the reason that I bring this up is because while the real criminals walk free and they seem to be above the law in Washington, D.C., it seems like the good guys are all going to jail. Steve Stockman comes to mind. Now another one. Your headline, The Empire Strikes Back. Max Blumenthal arrested. Criminalization of dissent on tap, if you will.
That's right, Sam. Max Blumenthal is a journalist and an author whose columns have appeared on RonPaulInstitute.org, which is a site that I scan every week for the stories, the great news and information that they provide. But this was not covered in the mainstream media. The arrest of Max Blumenthal, he's a journalist who's been writing for the whole year, since the beginning of January of this year. He began covering the Venezuela issue, and where the mainstream was talking about all of the corruption and so forth, the bad stuff going on down in Venezuela, Max Blumenthal was one of several journalists who got in a plane and went to Venezuela to find out for himself. And while the mainstream media was claiming that there's no food in the stores and that people are eating, you know, cannibalistically eating other people, I mean, he didn't see any of that. He saw grocery stores full of food, people just getting right along with each other. In other words, the U.S. sanctions on Venezuela have had a pretty dramatic effect on that nation's economy, but it was nowhere near what the mainstream media portrayed here in the United States. And so, you know, Max Blumenthal helped to blow the lid off of the mainstream story about Venezuela, and that did not sit well with the deep state, the people that want you and me to believe that we need a regime change there in Venezuela. In fact, you know, the deep state is apolitical in regard to partisan politics. They favor the Democrats and the Republicans, but only if they carry water for the neoliberals and the fascists and so forth that empower the military-industrial complex, right? And if they deviate, Sam, they may suffer the very same fate recently experienced by Max Blumenthal. And they pick off these little guys that, you know, one at a time, and they do that to set an example for all of the other independent journalists, saying, look, if you do what Max did, then your fate will mirror what his was, right? I mean, that's what they're really saying. And so the story behind Max Blumenthal's involvement in Venezuela began in January, basically when the United States attempted to engineer a coup in Venezuela against Nicolas Maduro, and because the U.S. wanted to replace him with Juan Guaido. They promulgated a false narrative, but they just left out a couple of important facts. Number one is that Venezuela holds the world's largest proven oil reserve, Sam, the largest on the planet, apparently, and that U.S. sanctions had caused most of the economic suffering there. Well, Dan Cohen and Max Blumenthal published an article in January entitled "The Making of Juan Guaido, How the U.S. Regime Change Laboratory Created Venezuela's Coup Leader." And this article said that the 35-year-old Guaido was an obscure character in a politically marginal far-right group closely associated with gruesome acts of street violence. Now, this article even has photographs of Guaido and his cohort, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, as they were on the street, creating, disrupting the peace, creating violence.
So what you're seeing, Lowell, is you're seeing the exact thing happening in Venezuela that Donald Trump is making allegations that we did in other countries as well. Whether it be ISIS talking about Iraq or Iran or Syria or wherever you want to go there, it all comes down to this same scenario. And the sad part about this is Donald Trump making allegations against Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, which are maybe the statement's not 100% factual the way he stated it, but the principles are the same. And sadly, he's right in the thick of it. The Trump administration immediately elevated Venezuela to the top of Washington's regime change target list, branding it the leader of a tyranny, if you will. Well, Trump's national security team doing literally the same thing, creating coups in countries. Then Donald's going to complain when the Democrats try to create a coup in his country?
Good point.
Maybe I'm too redneck and confused on this, but it just seems like, wow, are we joking here or is this serious? And it's affecting all nations and every one of them. We're at the center of the funding and the arming and the training of military apparatus on both sides of the aisle or both sides of the discussion, almost in every case.
Yeah. Yeah, and the sobering part of this, Sam, is that Max Blumenthal also reported some of the facts that the U.S. was involved in plots to take Maduro's life. You know, I didn't realize this. You know, I'd often heard that Maduro had survived several assassination attempts. But according to Max Blumenthal, it was the U.S. regime change operation task force that orchestrated those assassination attempts. And in fact, why we actually need to answer the question, why does the U.S. want regime change in Venezuela? Well, since the 1998 election of Hugo Chavez, the United States really has fought to restore control over Venezuela and its vast reserves of oil, right? 4 years later, in 2002, Venezuela's right-wing opposition briefly ousted Chavez with U.S. support and so forth, but Chavez eventually took over until 2013 when he died from cancer. And then, so that's when Maduro came along in 2013, and these three attempts to take his life, one of them was named Operation Constitution.
By the way, what a sham mockery in and of itself. Naming that's a mockery of America.
Exactly right. To capture Maduro at the Miraflores Presidential Palace, that was the first failed attempt. The second, called Operation Armageddon, another ironic choice of names, to assassinate him at a military parade in July of 2017. And then just over a year later, they tried to and failed to kill Maduro with drone bombs during a military parade in Caracas, Sam.
Sounds like the way we dealt with Castro in Cuba as well. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. Sadly, Donald's right in the thick of it, just like Barack and other predecessors on both sides of the aisle. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds with Lowell Nelson.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The House Majority Leader says it's still not clear exactly when the public will have access to hearings in the impeachment inquiry. Maryland Representative Steny Hoyer telling CBS's Face the Nation,
time is not constraining us. The truth and the facts are constraining us. We are going to move as soon as the facts and the truth dictate that we have.
Meanwhile, four White House officials who are scheduled to give depositions in the impeachment inquiry today are not expected to show up to do so. President Trump's now threatening federal funding for California over wildfires in that state, saying on Twitter over the weekend that he blames California Governor Gavin Newsom for, quote, a terrible job of forest management. The president saying every year wildfires consume California's forests and the state always comes to the federal government for funds to fight the fires. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Tax Talk with Hollywood legend Bob Eubanks.
You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-832-1594. 800-832-1594.
The Democrats on the campaign trail over the weekend, one of them Vermont Senator presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders, holding a rally in Minneapolis, Minnesota, blasting President Trump, saying that he wishes the House would impeach the president even if it wouldn't stand up in the Senate.
This is a president who deserves to be impeached and will be impeached.
The FAA is investigating after a United Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing just before 7 a.m. Eastern today at Newark Liberty Airport in New Jersey. Flight 800 was bound for Orlando. It had just taken off from Newark when the pilot declared the emergency, saying they smelled smoke in the cockpit. No one was hurt. The previously unbeaten Patriots now perfect no more. New England fell 37-20 to the Ravens in Baltimore in Sunday Night Football. And this is USA Radio News.
Donald Trump blatantly admitting the reason he's got to keep troops in Syria is to control the oil. Fox News and many other conservative networks have basically said, hey, we got to keep the military-industrial complex cranked up because we got to have control of the oil. They literally say that economics is more important than the lives of our children. Donald Trump, very critical, wisely so, about the military-industrial complex on the campaign trail, literally making allegations that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are the founders, co-founders of ISIS. But now the Trump administration immediately elevates Venezuela to the top of Washington's regime change agenda. Why? Well, oil? The promotion of communism? What's the purpose? They've tried to assassinate Venezuelan leaders many times. I mean, this is just a page out of the Cuba playbook. I mean, this is insanity. So I appreciate Donald's points. He's right when he says we got to back away from this. This is disaster. But it seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same. Lol.
Good point, Sam. Did you know that the idea that the U.S. forces are staying close to Syria in order to protect our interest in those oil reserves, that's just a bald-faced lie. The oil that Syria has is 0.2% of the world's oil. It's crazy that we...
Well, and we also claim that we're outputting, we're the biggest oil producer in the world. We're claiming that we're outputting more oil and actually exporting oil derivatives, if you will. And if that's true, hey, why do we need to control their oil? We would say, well, so the Chinese and the Russians don't get it. The Chinese and the Russians, if they get it, it'll be disaster. My response is, isn't the Chinese our most favored nation trading partner? What do you mean? Why are we worried if our most favored nation trading partner gets oil? What are you thinking? Right? Something doesn't smell right here, sir.
So here's another irony, Sam. Max Blumenthal wrote an article. I mean, he's an award-winning journalist, Sam, author of several books, including bestsellers like Republican Gomorrah, a book called Goliath, a book called The 51-Day War, another book called The Management of Savagery. And here's an article about Syria. The article basically says the U.S. has backed 21 of the 28 crazy militias, and crazy was in quotes, right? The U.S. has backed 21 of the 28 crazy militias leading Turkey's brutal invasion of northern Syria. One more sentence here. Former and current U.S. officials have slammed the Turkish mercenary forces of Arab militias for executing and beheading Kurds in northern Syria. New data from Turkey reveals that almost all of these militias were armed and trained by the CIA and the Pentagon.
So jackbooted thugs rolled in and arrested Max Blumenthal. Your free speech is on the, altar?
Yeah, man. And that's basically, quoting another article about Max Blumenthal's arrest found in counterpunch.org, they say, quote, in moments like this, now the reason I'm quoting this is because it's powerful, right? In moments like this, when the boot is coming down on a brother's neck, we must stand up and protest loudly. Blumenthal's arrest was intended to intimidate not just him, but other activists. A very clear message was conveyed. That message is, criticize U.S. foreign policy, and you might end up behind bars. Yeah, so very sobering, Sam, that, today Max is the target, but tomorrow it might be you. It might be someone else. And
we will have freedom of expression, ladies and gentlemen, only as long as we fight to keep it. And we must never, never let up on that fight. Now, whether you like or dislike Max, I have not been a fan of Max in the past. Nevertheless, you know what? I may not even support everything he says, but I will support his right to say it. Critical understanding, ladies and gentlemen, about the Republic. I don't pick sides. I even support Hillary's right to say things and Barack's right to say things and Donald's right. Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters, they can say things, but their speech that does cross the line. And I say a lot of these allegations, I don't like the court of public opinion manipulation. Either put up or shut up when it comes to these allegations, and let's deliver and find out about it. All right, we got a big problem in America. So the conservatives are going to jail left and right. The criminals are running the asylum. It's out of control. Everybody talks about it. No accountability, except for the good guys are going to jail left and right. Blumenthal, Steve Stockman, and the list just goes on and on. And on, ladies and gentlemen. But
and by the way, Sam.
Yeah.
By the way, Sam. Let me just make this fine point. Max Blumenthal is a left-leaning journalist, and that's why you and I probably don't agree with him on a lot of topics. But as you said before, I do agree that he has the right to say and print what he wants to say and what he wants to print. But the point, the subtlety here is that Max Blumenthal is on the left, and he got arrested by the deep state, by the operatives of the deep state, just like Steve Stockman on the right got arrested and put in prison by the deep state. In other words, you go up against the deep state, and you risk your freedom.
This is not a left-right debate. This is a First Amendment right discussion, and when do you cross the line of libel and slander and criminal activity versus when do you have the right to your free speech and the ability to say and think and believe what you choose, and I'll defend everybody's rights. Even if I don't even agree with what they say, I'll defend their right to say it. Now, Michael Meharry from 10th Amendment Foundation wrote an incredible article that I think relates to this because it's the domestic arm of this very same discussion. A new surge expands unconstitutional federal involvement in local police activities. Michael Meharry. Lol?
Yeah, and he wrote this based on a speech that President Trump recently gave just one or two weeks ago. He spoke at the he's talking to an association of chiefs of police gathered there in Chicago. Now he announced a national police surge. He used the word surge to crack down on violent crime. And while he didn't provide details, he did say that his Attorney General Barr would, in the coming weeks, announce a new crackdown on violent crime, quote, targeting gangs and drug traffickers in high-crime cities and dangerous rural areas, end of quote. Now, let's be very clear, Sam. The state did not give to the general government the authority to engage in local crime fighting. None. Zero. The states vested the general government with authority to punish street crimes, counterfeiting, treason, and piracy and felonies on the high seas. That's it. Those three things. That's the authority that the states gave to the general government, vested in the general government. Nowhere in the Blueprint for Liberty, the Constitution of the United States, Sam, do we find authority given to the general government to police local crime. It was very clear that during the ratification debate, numerous supporters of the Constitution insisted that police powers would remain exclusively with state and local government. And so this is a clear violation of the Constitution of the United States, where the general government intertwines itself more and more tightly with state and local law enforcement. It gives them grants, gives them money, gives them military-grade weaponry and vehicles and so forth. And in return, they expect local law enforcement to do their bidding. That's the end game here. They are going for a national police force, and something that the John Birch Society has been opposing strenuously for years. And I oppose it, too. I want my local police force to be local. I don't want a national police
force. But I also want them to be peace-oriented, to de-escalate issues, not escalate them. Arming police officers like they're ready to occupy an enemy city is totally contrary to the society's envisioned by our founding fathers, okay? They have basically changed, ladies and gentlemen. They've turned protect and serve into command and control. This is what's going on, Lowell.
Well put, Sam. And one of the things that we really ought to do is to end the wars, the endless wars. There's a war on poverty that Johnson declared in the 60s. There's a war on drugs that somebody else declared in the 80s. There's a war on terror that Bush proclaimed in 2001 or 2002, right in there. And these are endless wars that just go on and on and on, and they provide justification for this militarization of local police, local and state police forces. It's got to stop. Now, many of our listeners may not agree with the use of medical cannabis, but I got to tell you that states who have legalized the use of medical cannabis is a great example. It's a good example of a state exercising its rightful authority of erecting a barrier against the encroachment of the authority by the general government. And so when the general government exceeds its lawful bounds, running outside of the Constitution, the Blueprint for Liberty, it's up to the state, to the local and county legislative bodies to put an end to that.
Yeah, but where's Donald Trump in this? It seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same, don't they, ladies and gentlemen? Quick pause. Kurt, Sam, and Lowell on your radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So we got the cops, I don't know what you call them, federal cops running out of control, but there's no authority constitutionally speaking for federal cops at all, except for some very, very few narrowly defined issues that don't relate to the people domestically at all, lol.
That's the problem, Sam, and the best way, I think, for us to put the general government back into its constitutional cage is for state and local agencies, you know, legislatures, county commissions, the sheriff, peace officers, to simply put their foot down and refuse to comply with and cooperate with this militarization effort, this national police force effort to basically infect and take control, this command and control of our turf. You know, states don't have to put up with this. They don't have to cooperate, and we really should refuse to cooperate in these types of things, Sam.
It's hard to know how to respond to this, but I will say this. Ron Paul just emailed me and many others on his list, and here's what he said that I think is just really apropos for the discussion right now. Ready? Ron Paul,
yeah.
Trump's new pre-crime division. Trump's putting together a pre-crime division, the thought police, that'll come back and say, you know, I think that, you support Ron Paul and you got a bumper sticker on your car. And, well, back in several years ago in Missouri, they said that might mean you're a terrorist. And now we got the red flag laws and Donald Trump under this, quote, mental illness discussion is ratcheting this up big time. So Ron Paul is highlighting the fact that Donald Trump is working on a, quote, new pre-crime division, whatever that means. But now you got federal cops. There hasn't even been a crime committed yet, and they're going to go ahead and work on that. You comfortable yet, Lul?
Not at all, Sam. In fact, about a month ago, I never re-watched the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise, where they illustrate some artist the conception of what a pre-crime division might be. And it was pretty sobering. I mean, I don't give politicians any authority to do a pre-crime, but that's exactly, you know, what the red flag gun confiscation schemes and universal background check proposals do. Basically, they're angling towards a pre-crime division, and it's simply not right, Sam.
Well, so there you have it. And I don't know really how to think about this, but I'm very concerned about this. And so the sheriffs need to start to step up and say, hey, wait a minute. Washington is a criminal enterprise 66 ways from Sunday. Too many rogue agents are involved everywhere. We're involved around the world everywhere. Now they're moving into the states. And while they're disarming the American citizens under red flag laws, unconstitutionally, I might add, they're arming other nations to the teeth. And around the world, they're picking winners and losers and literally creating coups all over the world. And now the Democrats have a coup against the Donald, and Donald's not happy with it. Now, Donald says that Barack and Hillary are the leaders of ISIS, the founders. But yet now Donald Trump and his administration end up doing the very same things. Strangely so. And now we got a pre-crime division, headed by Donald Trump? Wow. All right, let's move to healthcare really quick before the end of the hour. The 2019 Symposium on Health and Health Freedom. The website, yourhealthfreedom.org, is where you go. Lowell was there and has an update for us. Lowell?
Thank you, Sam. I attended this two-day symposium on health and health freedom just last Friday and Saturday, November 1 and 2. And although we don't have time to cover everything that was addressed, I do want to hit some of the highlights. The first was a bombshell. A lot of people don't know this, Sam, but many of our vaccines are made with aborted fetuses that were healthy. Let that sink in.
There you have it. And again, how come this isn't being highlighted in the mainstream press? How come Donald Trump, who's pro-life, isn't speaking out about this? You know, Matt Staver and others are dealing with a big old lawsuit costing millions of dollars in California right now over Sandra Merritt. But none of this stuff is getting out. The criminal enterprise has complete control of the narrative on this.
Jamie Hepworth was one of the speakers, and she calls this medical cannibalism because the DNA from aborted fetal tissue is in the vaccine. And this is like a list of 21 vaccines. It was on a handout that I got. Now, you can go to a website called childrenofgodforlife.org, childrenofgodforlife.org, and they go into great detail on the various vaccines that contain DNA from aborted fetuses. And, you know, this is, okay, so that just blows your mind. I mean, when Jamie first stumbled onto this fact, he went to her doctor and asked for a vaccine that did not contain fetal tissue. Well, the doctor himself was surprised to learn that fact. He had no idea. And yet he had been administering vaccines right and left for years and years. He didn't know that. So a lot of people don't know this, Sam, that we are killing our children, stealing their tissue and making that into vaccines, which we then inject into other people who are alive, Sam. It's just, it's cannibalistic. It's diabolical. Now, she calls it sacrificing, as she says, very similar to sacrificing children to Moloch, you know, the Canaanite god that you read about in the Bible, Moloch. And it's just so sobering, Sam. That's one of the highlights. I mean, it's a low light, but I just highlight it right here because not many people know the vaccines contain fetal tissue. Well, there you go. Okay, that was one highlight. Number two, Judy Zimmerman, she's a whistleblower right here in the state of Utah. She was the director of the Utah Registry of Autism and Developmental Disability. And she got terminated for being a whistleblower and harassed by the police, went through tons of courts. Stuff. I mean, it's truly harassment. When you look at her story, it's just sobering. But the main point that she made was that your private health and education data have been shared with other parties, like the University of Utah, without your knowledge or your consent. That was a blockbuster. How about Lance Cotter, a music therapist? He talked at this conference. Now, the symposium wasn't solely about vaccines. For instance, I spoke. I talked about nutrition. Jordan Burningham talked about opioid addiction recovery. Emily Sadler talked about herbology. Amanda Cotter warned of the dangers of GMOs. And, in fact, let me highlight that for just a second. The biotoxins from GMO corn creates holes in the human gut. That was a blockbuster. I didn't know that. Animals eat GMO food. Now, GMO stands for genetically modified organism. That's what the GMO is, right? That's what Monsanto was doing. And so animals, they'll eat the GMO food, and then man eats the animals. And so I wonder to myself, I wonder if this is one of the causes of the leaky gut syndrome that we hear so much about nowadays. This wasn't even a thing when, you know, 20 years ago, nobody got leaky gut syndrome. It's a brand new thing. And so I just wonder if maybe some of the GMO foods that we ingest are causing leaky gut syndrome. And by the way, there's a gentleman in Alpine right here in Utah named Caleb Warnock. And apparently he has safe seeds, original seeds. There's a special name for it. I forget what the name is for these seeds, but they haven't been genetically modified.
They're called the heirloom seeds.
Heirloom. Thank you, Kurt. Heirloom seeds. Now, I'm sure Caleb isn't the only source, but there's at least one source for us there. Now when we get now, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, moving on here, he headlined the symposium. He wrote a paper entitled "The Sixth Extinction: Immunity and Measles Mutants in a Virgin Soil." Now, by virgin soil, he meant a population of people, a culture of people that had never been exposed to the measles virus. Okay, that's what he meant by a virgin soil population. It turns out that the makers of the measles vaccine had gone to an indigenous native tribe somewhere in South America to test out their measles vaccine. Well, these people had never encountered the measles virus, and so when they were given the measles vaccine, thousands died. I kid you not, thousands of these children died. And this is the vaccine that we give to one another here in the States and around the world. What does that do? Well, among the reasons it turns out that natural herd immunity constrains the measles virus to actually operate in a child between ages of 4 and 7. There's a bell curve, basically, that describes this phenomenon between ages 4 and 7. And so up until age 4, the mother's milk is provides the antibodies against the measles virus. And after age 7, because once the child gets measles, he gets lifelong immunity after a single exposure to measles, and therefore after the age of 7, never again gets measles. But because of administration of the measles vaccine, we don't have this natural herd immunity. And so if you get the measles as an adult, or if you get it as an infant, before age 4, then you're much more likely to die, right? And so just a fascinating study about maybe the current vaccines, postulating that the current vaccines are actually creating virgin soil populations right here in the United States and UK and first world countries, so that at some point in the near future, we'll come into contact with these viruses and we'll have epidemic proportions of death due to these viruses, because the measles vaccine is neither safe nor effective, right? So just a fascinating presentation. The other thing, by the way, and worse than what I just said, was that the 1986 Act that awarded vaccine manufacturers immunity from prosecution for defective products, well, that immunity makes it so they have no incentive. There's no market incentive for them to improve their vaccines or to make them safe or to make them effective or anything, right? They're immune from prosecution, so they have no incentive to improve their products. Wakefield was saying we've got to make this a national campaign topic for the presidential campaign next year. So very, very interesting. And one last thing I want to highlight, Sam, was that there was a study done by a Peter Ayabi who blasted the mistaken notion that vaccines save lives in Africa. He and his fellow researchers studied a population of African children who were given the DPT shot in the 1980s, and they concluded that it actually increased mortality. Sam?
All right. The National Vaccine Information Center also has planned a November 14th rally in Washington, D.C. to raise awareness about America's vaccine injury crisis. They call it an epidemic going on, so we'll keep an eye on that, see if we can't get somebody to report live from that event on Liberty Roundtable as well. I'd love to go, but don't have the cash. There's about 50 places I ought to be, albeit none of them, because money's always a constraint. Lowell, thank you so much, sir. Godspeed.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Thank you.
We declare this nation shall endure.